before I preach, sometimes when God puts thoughts on my mind, I found out that some people get more out of the thoughts than they do out of the sermon, so I like to share something when I thank God putting it on my heart. But here's one thought that I think about a lot. There's some things here I'm going to point out in the building that we have, that they all have something in common, like this light system and our sound system and our stove back there and our vacuum cleaner. They all got something in common. You know what they are? They don't work without electricity. You can have that vacuum cleaner and you push that sucker all you want to, no electricity, not going to pick anything up. Hit that light switch all you want to, no electricity. Well, I'll tell you something about the Holy Spirit. Nothing works right. You better remember that. Preaching doesn't work right, nothing works right. In fact, we sing in a song, "All is vain, lest the Spirit of the Holy One come down." You need to remember that and do a lot of praying. Nothing works right. It's just as dead as a hammer without the Holy Ghost. And there's something else I want to share with you that I heard Thomas Mann preach this morning. I'm going to give it a plug. Now, y'all write it down this time. Get some pencils out and write this down. You need to get up at 7 o'clock, get on your internet, and hit www.jeffloveSusan. Thank you, Jeff and Susan, have me on that acronym. And you get Thomas Mann on the Big Dog, which is a West Virginia radio session, and I'm telling you, it's some good preaching. So anyway, this morning, he made some comments that I want to share with you. This is not his whole, what his whole sermon was about, but he said what we ought to do is cast out in front of people stepping stones, not stumbling stones. I thought that was great. We want to cast out stepping stones to people, not stumbling stones. You know, which reminds me of Genesis chapter 12, talking about Abraham. Abraham, you are blessed, and you're also to be a blessing. We're greatly blessed, we ought to be a blessing to others. That ought to be the main thing of our life, glorifying God by being a blessing to others. Remember, you've heard this lots of times, but you don't need to forget this. The difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee is, the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth, of course, had no life in it whatsoever, and that's because the Jordan River flows into it, does not have an outlet, so just evaporation, so you got a lot of salts in there. And the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life because the Jordan River flows into it, also flows out of it. So you be a Jordan River, be a Sea of Galilee this week. Don't be an old Dead Sea. Don't be a recipient all the time. And if you're going to throw out some stones, let them be stepping stones and not stumbling stones. So I want to share those things with you. Now today, I want to preach again on being content. I did this 2 weeks ago, but I'm not satisfied of being content. That's why I want to choose this song, and I want to read this song to you. Again, we have sung it. And I heard a man say one time, and I agree with him, he said, "I'd rather be able to say these words than any other words in the English language if I really meant it." It's hard to mean this, but we need to get to where we can really mean this. And so you did pray this to God today. I hope you weren't just letting it go on one way or another. We were saying to God something here, and we did sing this song, number 297. "Thy way not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. O lead me by thine own right hand, choose thou the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it still will be the best. Winding or straight, it matters not. It leads me to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. But choose thou for me, O my Lord, so shall I walk aright. The kingdom that I seek is thine. Let the way that leads to it, O Lord, be thine. Else I must surely stray. Not mine the choice. If things be great or small, be thou my guide, my guard, my strength, my wisdom, and mine all." Those are profound words. They're really hard to live by. But look, who you want to choose your path, yourself or God? Who's the smartest? You think you're pretty smart, don't you? I do too. I want to choose my path, God. Every time I choose it, I'm going to mess it up. So let's be submissive to God as much as we possibly can. Let him choose our path. He knows what he's doing. Now, what I want to do is reiterate some of the things I said earlier. And so just stay with me and pay good attention today. I feel burdened about this, so I think there's some reason for this. Learning to be content. I want to review a little bit what I said last time. Contentment is a product of your heart resting in God. Contentment is the product of a heart resting in God. I'm going to read you some scriptures here. One of my favorites of all my whole lifetime, one that Judy and I use for the theme of our marriage, really, is over in Isaiah 26:3. In fact, Nathan quoted that this morning when he prayed in our prayer service earlier. Isaiah 26:3. Get this down. This is you can memorize this right now while I'm saying it. You ought to. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's a great verse. In the Hebrew, like I said, the way they emphasize things in the Hebrew is sometimes repeat it. So shalom is a beautiful word, you know, means peace. And this word perfect peace, the King James men did a good job translating this. It's literally peace, peace. That would keep him in perfect peace. You want to be in perfect peace? We live in a chaotic world that doesn't have much peace. That would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Then over in Matthew 11:28-30, this is wonderful too. I got to preach on this pretty soon. I love this verse so much, this passage here, this whole passage. And this is our precious Savior is talking to us here in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And we probably get some people today that are laboring and heavy laden. Got problems that you probably could not even articulate to others, perhaps. Something lying heavy on your heart. That happened to us because we're sinners and live in a sinful world. We have an invitation from the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? An invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn with me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's a wonderful passage. And a man pointed this out to me I heard a sermon, and I had never thought about this. He's the only time in the New Testament that Jesus Christ actually talked about one of his attributes or his attitudes is right here. He said, I am meek and lowly. Isn't that great? It's not easy to approach people who are arrogant, is it? You know, sometimes people just turn people off. They get this kind of hard nose and they're kind of arrogant, maybe a little bit self-righteous. And if you were going to try to find some help, you wouldn't go to them. But some meek, lowly person, then you'd go to them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I am meek and I'm lowly. So we can come, he's approachable. So go approach him. Talk to him. He invites you to do that. The reason you don't do it is because you're an Arminian by nature. Now, I hate that, but you are, and I am too. What I mean by that, you think you got to earn your own salvation. And you know better. You think, I've got to get good enough to come to Jesus Christ, and that's not going to ever happen. He's a friend of sinners. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. So he says, you just come. You come right now. And you're going to find rest in your souls. So you got to just keep on coming. That's probably in the present tense on where it is not. I didn't check it out. If it is, it means keep on coming. I'm sure that's the idea anyway. All right, then a few more verses on this. And I'm still talking about that contentment is the product of a heart resting on the Lord. So this is Psalm, in the Bible full of these verses, by the way, you well know. Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And then finally, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. These are just great verses. Take any of them and meditate on them for a half an hour and see if that doesn't be food to your soul. Now, I'm just going to share some thoughts with you, and so I'm just going to do these and then give scripture to back them up. Contentment is only possible by being much in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And our problem is sometimes we get so busy, we don't really stay in his presence. We think about everything. In fact, somebody prayed, I think it might have been Schaefer today, that prayed, God, help us to forget the burden of this last week and concentrate on you. Because we live in a chaotic world, right? But true contentment is found only being much in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love that verse, that little song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full of his wonderful face. The things of earth appears plainly dim. The light of His glory is grace. You know, we say just one glimpse of Him in glory, all the toil of life repay. How about a glimpse of Him right now? He can just smile at you and everything's okay. Usually if you've been out of shape and everything going wrong and you're afraid of the future, and just take one look at Him and watch His smile at you and everything's okay. You've got to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes He lets things happen to us to arrest us that we might be in His presence, because we get so busy in our daily life, we kind of forget to rest in His presence. We may give Him kind of a tip of the hat, you know, and what we do sometimes. And He's not going to be satisfied with the tip of the hat. Okay, what? 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. I hope you'll write some of these down or get on sermon audio or something, because just grab some verses here. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm not preaching my own ideas. It's the Word of God that's going to help you. I'm just going to expound it the best that I can. Just reading it is going to be great. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and that means fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's a practical cleansing. We know we're cleansed once and for all by the blood of Christ, but we have a fresh cleansing of our consciences when we walk close to Him. That's 1 John 1:7. Okay, now I'm going to read you something from Jeremiah Burroughs. He's the one I told you, and y'all get this book, you can get it. It's called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. He wrote that back in the 1700s, and it's rare then, it's rare now, isn't it? The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. It's a rare jewel, but it's worth it. It's worth obtaining, isn't it? That wonderful rare jewel of Christian contentment. So here's what he said. I like this. A consideration of the greatness of the mercies that we have and the littleness of the things that God had denied us. Think about that again. God gives us a lot of stuff, a few things He denied us. But in our sinful nature, we don't focus on the great things He gave us. We just gripe about the few things He denied us. And He denied us things for our own good anyway. So, a consideration of the greatness of the mercies that we have, the littleness of the things that God had denied us, and a very powerful consideration to work this grace of contentment. We have spiritual blessings that he points out that the reprobate doesn't know anything about. I'm going to read you some of those spiritual blessings. It's not our earthly wealth that counts, it's our spiritual wealth. And I mean this, God knows I'm telling the truth. King James Bible here. I know I'm telling the truth. And now, if God ever let me to myself, I would not make this decision. But I hope He didn't believe me. If I had, somebody said, okay, Brother Guest, you get $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion, by the way. But to do it, we're going to take all the Word of God out of your heart that's in there. But also, the other deal is, I'm going to take everything you've got away from you. You still got the Word of God. It's a no-brainer. You know what I'd take? Give me the Word of God. That's good enough to live by, good enough to die by. All the wealth this world's got is not going to make anybody content or happy or satisfied. Never had done it, it's not going to do it. So let's look at some spiritual blessings. Just a couple of places I'll read to you. Ephesians 1:3. And Paul was just in an ecstatic spirit of eulogy when he wrote this over in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I'm tempted to read further, but I won't. Here's why I'm tempted to read further. If you'll start there and read on down through verse 11 at least, it's going to blow your mind if you even have a halfway idea of what he's saying. All kind of great blessings there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, one thing that Pete pointed out in that book he got over the prayers of Paul, he points out then when Paul prayed for the people, rarely did he pray for the material things. Even though they're very material things are very important. Health's important. Lots of things, but that's not what Paul centered on. He knew what was most important. If you look at the Lord's model prayer in Matthew 6, it's the same thing. Only one request for material blessings gives us day our daily bread. All the rest of those are spiritual blessings. We need to put a higher estimation than we do on our spiritual blessings. Okay? Now, also, and this is when I say these are great verses, I keep saying that, don't I? Because they are great verses. All of them are a feast. All of them are a spiritual feast. We just don't let them run through your mind real quick. Just sit there a while on them and chew on them a little bit and masticate those things spiritually and get the juice out of these blessings. That's what you need to do. 1 Peter 1:3. According to His divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him had called us to glory and virtue. I'll read that one again. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, we may, through the knowledge of Him, had called us to glory and virtue. All right, now let me give you another one more on this. That's Romans 8:32. I like this so well. One time I made a comment that I wish I had this for a plaque on my wall. And Debbie Pope, bless her heart, Kendall's wife, she made me one. So I got it. And I love this. This is Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Isn't that an amazing verse? He that spared not, He's proved His love to us. He that spared not His own Son, delivered Him up for us all. That's the big one, isn't it? How shall He not also with Him freely give us all things that we really need? We got a rich God. He's always been rich. You know, God's not a stingy, you know that? God's not a stingy giver. He's proved from the very first, He told Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And only one prohibition of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. One tree. That's what they focused on. But He said, you can freely eat. And talking about wisdom over there in James chapter 1, He gives liberally to all men and upbraid us not. We got a rich God and a generous God. We need to focus on that. I tell you, I just kick myself sometimes. I get to think God's stingy sometimes because He doesn't do everything I want Him to do. We got a rich God, super duper rich God. The older I get, the more I realize that. You know, my daddy had a pretty hard life. He had a heart attack, pretty bad heart attack, and we were always worried that he'd die, but he didn't until he outlived Mama. He had a lot of hard times. But Jerry McMahon, a friend of mine, lived with us for a while. I was going to college. I didn't have the time I wanted to spend with Daddy. And so Daddy got congestive heart failure and took quite a while as he was going down. He knew he was dying. And Jerry spent a lot of time with him in the backyard up there on Graham. He said all my daddy could talk about for days and days and days and days how good God had been to him. And he just lost his wife 5 years earlier. He only had 19 and a half years with her. They lived a lot of living in 19 and a half years. And he hated to lose her. But he was so grateful. And my friend, I want to be that way. Don't you want to be that way? And I come to him, I say, God, you've been so good to me. Because He had been good to us. The Lord had been so good to me. I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name all my remaining days. All right? We got to focus on the blessings of God, which are absolutely manifold. All right. Now, I'm not going to turn here, but I could, but you do sometimes. Go to count your blessings over there. And number 12, Old School Hymnal. Count your many blessings. Well, I might not do it. I'm not in a hurry. Let's get on there. Count your blessings. All right, what number is that anyway? It's number 437. There's another pretty good song, Old Bing Crosby sang. Count your blessings instead of sheep. You'll falsely count your blessings. He sang it to old Rosemary Clooney one time. Alright, let's go here and get this song here and read it. 437. Developing contentment, having a thankful heart. When upon life billows your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy, your call to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. You'll be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ have promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Isn't that great? So count your blessings. Next time you get in a muddy grub, start counting those blessings. And so let's go to Hebrews 13:15. Lots of scriptures here. Lots of scriptures. And while I'm at it, I think I'll go to one here that I hadn't even thought about until just now. I think I'll be turning here, so let me get to Hebrews 13:15 when I'm turning to this one. I think it's the one I want. So you can cultivate an attitude of gratitude, and we need to be doing that. We'll find contentment if we do that. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, and by him, therefore, means what it says, by him, therefore. Let's offer to God, well, let me just turn there and read it. Well, I got it right here probably, so I think I probably do. By him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You think, well, I can always do that. No, you can't always do that. You've got to ask God to give you a grateful heart. Remember the story of John Warburton I've told about so many times? John Warburton was real poor. We know what poor is, really. I've never had to worry about feeding my kids. You never had to worry about feeding your either, probably. But Warburton did. And so he lived back in England. And he was already afraid. He got to go to debtor's prison. He saw how close he was lots of times for many years. And so one time he had a real need, and just a drastic need. And somebody gave him enough money to meet the need. And it was a real serious situation. So he said, I'm going to go over to the chapel. He must have lived in a park to come like I do. I'm going to go to the chapel and give thanks to God. He said, when I got over there, I hated the thoughts I had. Instead of being thankful, I thought, man, they bailed me out here, but I wish they'd give me just a little bit more so I have something for the future. Isn't that terrible? And he hated those thoughts. He said, I could not even thank God for what had happened. But a few days later, he was walking down the street, and God filled him with gratitude. He started jumping up and down and just praising God in the presence of people. People probably crazy. So he said, the Bible means what he said, by him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We need, God, give me a spirit of gratitude. Give me a spirit of gratitude. And what we're, this is, listen, we need to cultivate that. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, how often? Continually. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You think you can overdo it praising God? Let me have something on that. How can you overdo it praising God? If we praise him all the time, 24/7, we would never praise him enough. Let's ask God to give us the ability to praise him more. And then the song I'll turn them to is Psalm 71:8. And this is a prayer. This is a prayer. Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth, it's a prayer, let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thy honor, all the day. It's a good prayer, isn't it? All right. Now, I'm going to keep reading some thoughts ahead. We can bear our afflictions, and we do have afflictions. I'm not trying to sweep anything under the rug. Life is hard because we're sinners. People get old. Things happen to them. Life's full of challenges. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Job said, man is born of woman a few days of full troubles. That's the truth. So how can we bear afflictions? Let's say you've got some terrible afflictions. You may have some terminal disease. You may have incessant pain. You may have something that's nagging you. You can't get rid of. And so here is the thought. We can bear our afflictions and be content. We consider they're temporary and short. Our glorious blessedness is forever. Let's read two scriptures on that. Two scriptures. No matter what you're going through, it's not going to last forever. It may be over before you know it. And God wants us to know that. So in the Romans 8, here's what Paul says in verse 18. Suffering, real. He acknowledged that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that great? But look to the future. It's not going to last forever. This is not your home anyway. I think one reason why God lets things happen to us is we get too much at home here. And God does not want us to be too much at home. We're traveling. We're pilgrims. We're looking for a country. We have foundations whose builder and maker is God. Now, I know y'all have heard my stories, right? Some of them that's like tell over and over again. But I'm going to tell this over and over again. It'll do you good if you've heard it 4 or 5 times. And some of you never have heard it. But it just tickled me to death. Tickled me to death. And a spiritual tickle. Tim Cannon pastored a little flock church in Burnsville, Mississippi. Two of the old ladies in the church were widow women. And they were poor, Joe Gold Turkey, like my dad used to say. That's pretty poor. And they had a porch that was riding down. They couldn't afford to get the thing fixed. They wore them to death. So they go to the doctor. One of them was the doctor. And he said, you got terminal cancer. You're not going to live long. She came and told her sister, well, I ain't got to work with the old porch anymore. You might have an old porch you're worried about. Don't worry about it. It won't be here forever. You're going to get out of here. God gave you an escape route. You may have pain you can't live with. It will be over with some of these days. God wants us to know that. We need to listen. Do like Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy endured the cross, despite the shame, sat down to the right hand of God. That's the God-man. That's over Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ, my friend, looked forward to his glorification. That's what got him through the cross. That guy went through the torture there in the Garden of Gethsemane and other places. He was looking. That's him. The Bible says that. Let's talk that again. Who for the joy that was set before him, and that your joy also in him, because you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, he died for your sins, you're headed for glory. You can't imagine the glory. I can't either. Mine cannot conceive the glory that's going to be yours one of these days. No negatives. All cheerful out the way. God got a great big handkerchief. I will think of God's handkerchief someday. Watch those tears away. Isn't it fun to have kids and they don't have anything seriously wrong with them? So we can just wipe their eyes and then they're okay. Old Papa gets this big old handkerchief all the time. I got a bunch of handkerchiefs and I use them all the time, my grandkids. Sometimes not very serious problem. Well, my friend, your problem not serious problem, God's concerned. Death's not even a serious problem to him. If you're just sleeping as far as he's concerned, he can wake you up. So nothing that happened to you is serious as far as God's concerned. He promised us that a hair of your head shall perish. He told me to martyrs when he said that. So ultimately, not a hair of their head will perish. So our problems, which seem big to me, they're not big to God. So, again, I read that verse, Romans 8:18. For I reckon, Paul had thought about this a lot. He's thinking about this. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then I'll just read you one more. It's 1 Corinthians 4:16-18. I keep saying these are my favorite verses. They are. These and some others are my favorite verses. Some of these verses I say them every day and I get tired. I admit to you sometimes I get tired of the Bible. It's part of the Bible. I shouldn't say that, but I just have to confess to you. I say, well, I'm kind of glad I'm through with that now. I'm going to go to something else. Some of them I don't ever say that. And this is why I've never said that. Get this, folks. This is powerful stuff over here. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. For which cause you faint not? He's talking about sufferings that are above here. For which cause you faint not? We would tend to faint, wouldn't we? Sometimes we tend to faint. For though our outward man perish, and your outward man is perishing. You young people don't realize that yet. Even old Ryan Porter, who's got a core like a Superman. I've seen Ryan Porter climb a tree like a squirrel. I'm not kidding you. And I saw him jump over the fence the other day. But Ryan, your day's coming, buddy. What do you think? You're going to try to jump that fence. You're going to get over it. I got to see the Nutcracker last night with 7 of my granddaughters. But the way those guys jump, I can't believe it. I tried that one time when I was in the mercy room. Our outward man is perishing. You wait and see. The mind will work good. The eyesight won't be what it ought to be. The ears won't feel like they should. The energy won't be there. That's just inevitable. Outward man, for though our outward man, yet the inner man is renewed, how often? Day by day. Hallelujah. That's not in there, but that's good enough to say it. It's day by day. Your soul's not old. Your soul doesn't age. You have eternal life that I give you right now. Eternal life. It doesn't get old. Your inner man is renewed day by day. For a lot of affliction, and to us it seems heavy, but God's concern is light, If you're going for a moment, doesn't seem like it's going to go on forever and ever, but it doesn't, as far as God's concerned. Our life fishing, if you're going for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things that are seen, the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen, they are eternal. And you see them by an eye of faith. You have what I'm saying? Faith! It's a sight that we talk about. We have these five senses. A child of God got more than that. They got a different sense. It's an eternal sense. It's faith. If you're born again, folks, you believe what I'm saying today. You know why? Because when God born you again, He wrote this truth in your heart. So you know what I'm saying, right? You're rejoicing that. People say, you Christians are crazy. You talk about pie in the sky when you die. You talk about a home beyond here. An old atheist, he doesn't think about that. Even though I think he really does. I'll get this in another source another day. I think they'll try to suppress things. Read Romans 1:32, you see what I'm talking about. But my friend, a child of God, and I'll admit sometimes, it gets kind of dim sometimes. But brother, it's great, isn't it, when the Holy Spirit stirs you up, and this hope right up in your breast. That happens. That's why we ought to come to church. I'm the bearer of sound of the gospel. Read our Bible. Be praying. And God make it real to us, because it is real. Let me read it to you one more time. Our right affliction, for a moment, water for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, for we look not at the things we've seen. The things are not seen. The things we're seen are temporal. Even the rock of Gibraltar are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They last forever. But you want to say amen out loud, doesn't it? All right. Just sharing thoughts with you. Ready? Here's another thought. Back it up by the Bible also. When we walk by faith, not by understanding, that's we will be having contentment. I must say exercise much faith. And God doing something, we just don't know what's going on. My friend, you're like, God got your life in control. I'm not a robot. You're not a robot either. I've got duties unto perform. I've got obedience. But I tell you, God has got control of my life. And He's interested in my life. So the things we go through sometimes, we don't understand them. I'm going to read you two scriptures that kind of give you some indication of what God's doing with us. I could give more than this. In fact, I think I'll give one more. I hadn't got here, but I'll just tell you. Read Hebrews chapter 12 about God's chastisement. Chastisement does not mean punishment. Chastisement is correction. God does not chastise reprobates, according to Hebrews chapter 12. He chastises His children. Those who love, He chastises. Why does He do that? That you might be a partaker of His holiness. See, I don't know what I need to keep me down. God, in that same 12th chapter of Hebrews, talking about the Apostle Paul, had that thorn in the flesh. Why did God give him that thorn in the flesh? No, that's the Christian. I'm sorry, but that's 2 Corinthians 12. Why did He give him that thorn in the flesh? Lest he be exalted above measure. Paul didn't know he needed that ballast to keep the ship in the water. But God knew he needed that. And God knows what you need, too. You might make shipwreck of the faith if God doesn't bring you down every now and then. If we were flying high, everything going okay all the time, no tell what we would do. We think we'd be okay, but we wouldn't be. We've got sinful natures. God knows what we need. So I'll read you two scriptures that indicate that. So when you're going through trouble, God do you a favor. There's something going on in your life that God is purging you, and God drawing you nigh to Himself and making you depend on Him more. Let's read those scriptures over in James 1, 2 through 4, first of all. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy. Reckon it joy when you fall to divers temptations. That word means testings. Now, that doesn't mean we're a fool. I don't want a hard time, to be frank with you. I'm not asking for a hard time. I never ask God for a hard time. I'm asking God for an easy time. But sometimes God knows better. So He said, so I've got to think about this. If something's happening to me that's dragging me down, I've got to think, Lord, what's going on in my life? What are you teaching me in this? Lord, help me learn this lesson. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How can we do that? He explains it. Knowing this, that the trial of our faith, not just faith, but the trial of our faith, what is patience? That means endurance. We need endurance. We're pretty short. Most of us are pretty short on endurance. And I mean, before I read this, let me give you something I want to talk about for a minute. I say it happened lots of times. I've been a pastor a long time, saying lots of times. So listen to me carefully, please. When you have a trial sometimes, you can bear it for a short time, even a severe trial, but the devil will grind you down if he can. He'll grind you down. When you got something that goes on and on and on, you ought to really draw close to God. We can all take something for a short time, probably. But he goes on and on and on, the devil is watching us, trying to bring us down. So he says this, again, in James. The trial by faith working patience. Let patience have her perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A true Christian is a patient individual. Now, I'm not saying they won't have lapses. I'm not saying that. I don't be unrealistic. Make people feel guilty. Go, we're human beings, and God knows our friend. Aren't you glad knows our friend that we're dust? Aren't you glad of that? God pleases us. See, so don't get too down. When you mess up, just get up and repent. I've got to help you again. Don't just stay down. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You will make mistakes. You know what I'm talking about. But rectify those. Don't wallow in self-pity. Say, God, forgive me. Help me to get close to you again. I can give you, look at the time that Peter failed. Abraham failed. David failed. But they didn't stay down in it. They didn't stay down in it. Let patience have a perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All right, let's give another one. Just over in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to break into the context. It's a great, I think I just read it. I don't think I'll break into the context after all. I'm going to start in verse 1. Romans 5, 1. These are powerful scriptures, folks. This is real. This is real life right here. I hope you're listening, because you may not be going through the trial right now, but you will, I guarantee you. You'll be going through them. I'm going to start in verse 1 here of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to grace where we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I love that verse. It's kind of like you're standing in a pool of grace. You've got access to it. By whom we also have access by faith to grace wherein we stand. Now let's read verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. It's kind of like James said, we joy in tribulations. This didn't happen when they first come. Nobody wants a tribulation. It's a process of believing what the Bible says, getting close to God and settling down. Right? Had y'all, some of y'all, I've seen some people nodding. It's a process. You won't just snap your fingers. Okay, ha ha, I got this scripture down. That's not the way it works. You maybe go through some struggles. Like I said before, this is not Bible, but it's a word picture. You throw a cat up in the air, which I don't recommend throwing cats up in the air, but if you do, they're going to land on their feet. It's uncanny. They may twist a lot of times. They're going to land on their feet. Well, that's what you're going to do too. You may do some twisting, but you're going to land on your feet because God's going to bless you to do that. Not only so, we glory in tribulations. Why do we do that? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's what that you can't get strong unless you exercise. You got to have a resistance. You go to bed, even you strong people, stand about a month and see what you can do. You're going to atrophy. You have to have some physical therapy. You've got to have some resistance. And God knows that. We learn that tribulation work of patience and patience experience. You have some experience with God. And experience hope. Isn't that great how this works out? And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Those are great verses. I wish that some of our people here, and we ought to do that sometime, have a testimonial meeting. People used to do that all the time. I like to have a testimonial meeting sometime, maybe in the home, maybe here at church, where people can tell some trials that God had brought them through. Brother Casey used to have a paper called For the Poor over in Arkansas, and it's filled with experiences. Bobby Paul said he was just a kid, a teenage kid. Couldn't wait to get that paper. Because it told about people who had gone through hard times, and God brought them through it and gave them hope. We need to be sharing each other's kind of experiences. All the old people here, I'll be sharing with the young people. We have a great God, my friend. He's good for real life. That's not just theory. All right, now, I got about two more points I'm going to be through. Here's a powerful point. If you're selfish, you won't like it. But God will make you unselfish, hopefully. God may be getting you ready to be a blessing to somebody else. I'm going to read you the scripture in a minute. Nobody can sympathize with somebody like somebody who's gone through it. I like the people to say, Brother Zach, God bless you. But even have to be more say, Brother Zach, I went through this and God blessed me. And all we get, probably, folk, we'll have more responsibility. We'll have more experiences. God is getting us ready to be a blessing to somebody else. We go through hard times. Okay, let me read that to you. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Get this now. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any tribulation, they comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that great? We can go to somebody and say, look, God, you can get through this. Let's just say, for instance, there may be somebody in a bad marriage. Some lady that's had a hard time with her husband. Maybe there's been somebody else who's gone through something like that, and they made it by God's grace. So this sister, like older sister, all be helping the younger sister, say, honey, you can make it through this. Just bear with it. Get close to God. God our God. God gets you through this. So we need to say, God, whatever I'm going through, do that the next time you go through a hard time. Say, Lord, please sanctify this. Let me get something out of this. Let me prepare to you help somebody else. All right? Now, I got a final point, and this is the best point of all. Our primary aim in life should be to do what? What do you think our primary life ought to be? What do you think? I don't mind a little input on this one. What should it be? To glorify God. Y'all got the right answer. I give y'all 100 on that. My friend, our whole life should be that God be glorified. Let's read the scripture that says that in closing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Philippians 1, 19 through 21. The Apostle Paul speaking here. And he's in prison when he speaks it. For I know that shall turn to my salvation through your prayer the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation. This is something he wanted very badly. Paul wanted this very badly. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or my death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul said, Lord, if I die, I want to glorify you. If I live, I want to glorify you. You know, I've been praying this whole lot lately with some older people. I hope to God that when I leave this world, and I don't know whether it be that way or not, I hope in my memory might be a blessing. We all want that to happen. I can start naming people right now. I won't do it. I can start naming a lot of people who've gone before. Their memory is a great blessing to me. So I want God to be glorified by our lives, by our death. Let's ask God to help us to finish strong. We may finish suffering. That may be one way God glorifies. Say, hey, look how he glorified God even in his suffering. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Folks, we've got a great God. Let's learn to be content. The more we're content, the more God glorified. There's going to be a struggle with the fight, but we can win this battle by God's wonderful grace.